What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
KM to 945. Yeah, sure. Talking sports on the fan, man. It's wide open. I've got a full rack of calls, so let's get to it. You guys kind of know or don't know what we're talking about. If you don't know, we're talking about sports. Ross is in Bergen County. Ross is back on the fan.
How you doing, man?
Good. How are you? You got over the Kevin O'Connell, Sam Darnold.
I'm still sick, man, but you know what? I mean, I tweeted you. You know, I could be your average sad sack kind of fan, and in most instances I am, but that's just no way to live. I don't need people going around, squall, Ross, what's wrong, what's wrong. It's like some of the scars of being a Viking fan are just indescribable, man.
Yes, and 32 playoff appearances, no Super Bowl wins.
Bro, I didn't realize when Texas won the World Series last year, we became the oldest franchise in the Big Four sports without a ring. You know, everybody talking about all Detroit and Arizona's got like a 90-year drought, but they won, you know, in some bum F-1931 title or something, and it counts. Everybody talking about, you don't need my whole Lions shtick again. I need that narrative to go. Like, I see Kyle Brandt Thanksgiving, you know, Lions, Packer, Viking fans, you know, you want to root for him too. Get that. And I like Kyle Brandt, but you got to get the hell out of here with that crap, man.
Yeah. Where they're doing backyard football. He was like talking about the line. I thought that was a little strange,
we got enough problems, man. We probably got more problems, but Lions play backyard football, so they're all cute and dandy. And we're, I gave you the reference here. You don't need the whole loophole again. But anyway.
I'm with you. I know. I'll say this, though. I don't like that when, when you come up a fan of a team and then you get into media, TV spaces, and they want to just make you like a fan of the league, it doesn't work like that.
Well, I mean, that's kind of, if you notice, one by one, every ringless team has kind of gone through that run. It started with the Bills. It feels like the Bengals are still getting that treatment, and it's crazy now. And I know last year the Burrow went down. I mean, Browning played all right. By the way, one of many heartbreaking losses last year. They shouldn't have effing cut me. You remember that on NFL Network? It was the Christmas nightmare. I remember Santa came down my block. I was effing living. Leslie invited me to the watch party. But anyway, the Jake Browning. But, I mean, the Bengals, their PR thing, too. I mean, they missed the playoffs 2 years in a row now because they beat the Chiefs a couple of 4 years now, getting back 3-4 years. They'll always have the benefit of the doubt. And our AFC counterpart, the Los Angeles Chargers, is the one game I got wrong over the weekend. I should have known better. They are the Bronze. Vikings of the AFC.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You remember last year there was the battle of the 0-2s, and we had the goal line pick that deflected off Hawkinson. I mean, they're like the Spider-Man meme, like pointing to each other. That's essentially, they hired Jim Harbaugh. We had him in the office. Now, look, you brought up Kevin O'Connell, and I don't blame the guy for quitting. You know what? When you can't convert a 4th-and-2, you can't convert. Was it? They're like, they were 0-for-4 in their last 4 2-point conversion attempts. They hadn't scored a touchdown in like 20 plus attempts. I know you don't want the coach being the one to wave the white flag, but I think it's safe to say the majority of Viking fans on their couches wave the white flag as well. So I'd be a hypocrite to blame them. They were dead in the water halfway through the second. And that, if it wasn't obvious already, that verse, scoop and score, was the dagger. Which, by the way, that made me think of it, too. You know, that Stafford play, if he was able to just blindly toss it on the ground, why didn't Darnold start doing that all game?
He's
he
not
could have
crafty
avoided
like
82
that.
Yard, 82 negative yards. He was a stuck duck.
Stafford's playing chess, high-level chess, not checkers.
I know you. Are you in on the Antonio Brown loop where he had the award show?
Of course.
Around New Year's?
Of course.
Yeah, he'd take home some of those COTD awards. COTY, COTM, if you know. It's one thing if Kyler or, one of those scrambler guys who goes back like 20 yards trying to avoid a sack. This guy was standing pat the whole game and found a way to almost go a whole football field in the wrong direction. Now, and I'm kind of a proponent too. Look, he played 16 out of, you can nitpick a couple. Let's say just going off win-loss, he played 14 out of 18 weeks this year. He played above expectations. I don't think because the last two I mean, you know, it depends on who you ask, because the last two, as meaningful as they were, should negate his whole season. Because, I mean, look at the Green Bay game was so good. They were doing, you know, what I brought up yesterday, the many men in the swag surfing and the throwing the water bottles. I mean, it was obviously
that was their Super Bowl.
A little premature. Yeah, I mean, all it took was 15 days for the season to crash and burn, man. And now you get the dreaded Adam Schefter off-season tweet. You know, we got Cam Bynum's a free agent, so no more, you know, we're all in this together, no more white chicks. He's the first one I hope they pay, really. And they got a lot of cap space. They only got three picks in the draft next year. They got some comp picks.
They can bring in free agents. They definitely got the money to improve, and I don't think they're going to give that money to Sam Darnold. Thanks for the call, Ross. A 16-year-old Vikings fan just bleeding out, man.
He said, how many scars? The guy's 16. How many scars?
You know what's crazy? I saved this because this, you know, was today in history. He wasn't alive for this. January 14th, 2001, the 2000 NFC Championship, where the Giants were not favored. Were they favored? They might have been favored, but let's see. Giants beat the Vikings 41-0. It was an ass-kicking. The Giants jump out to a 14-0 lead in the game en route to the most lopsided NFC title game ever. Kerry Collins throws an NFC Championship record 5 touchdowns, and for then an NFC Championship record 381 passing yards in the route. Giants had 518 yards. Vikings had 114. I remember where I was watching that as a young guy. And I just remember being shocked. Like, no way. No way. That's why I joked before. I was like, it doesn't matter if it's Dante Culpepper, like Randy Moss, Chris Carter. I think those guys were all on that team. And they got shut down completely. Ross, at least you didn't have to live through that. Giants fans, remember that glory? Remember that feeling beating the Vikings 41? Nothing to go on to the Super Bowl? I remember going to my middle school that Monday, and over the loudspeakers, you could hear it as the buses pulled up through the bus loop. They had that song. I don't know if I'm going to sing it. It was like, and clearly I don't play, it's not on my playlist. It was, I'm proud to be a New York Giant. And it was like, all the kids were going nuts for the Giants. I wasn't in that group. Paul is in Danbury.
Hey, Keith, thanks for taking my call tonight, man. I appreciate it.
You got it.
Listen, big Cowboys fan. Has family who's worked for the Cowboys for like 30 years. And every year we head down to Jersey. We go to MetLife Stadium. And I wear Cowboys stuff there. And, I mean, I get an occasional ribbing from fans. But usually, like, we sit down and we can get nosebleeds. We can be in the lower bowl. We can be anywhere.
Yeah. I've done that at least 5 times over the last 10 years. It is the most Dallas Cowboys friendly place on earth. and from the tailgate to being in there, it is like 60-40 Giants fans to Cowboys fans. And I think the Giants fans, at least in the last few years, they're so beaten down by not being able to beat the Cowboys. There's nothing they could really do. There's nothing they could really say. You don't get a hard time from too many Giants fans in Giants Stadium when the Cowboys play there.
100%. I mean, by the end of the game, and I'm not trying to rub it, I'm just being real. Usually you hear, let's go Cowboys for most of the stadium. It's pretty friendly to Cowboys.
And if you stay late, you can walk into the one section and, like, Micah Parsons will come greet you. I've seen the recent takeovers. That 40-0 game 2 years ago when it rained, somebody got kicked out for starting a fight. Even this year on Thursday Night Football, somebody not far from you got kicked out. But when the fan base knows that the team doesn't really stand a chance and the fan base knows they've been owned by the other team, there's really nothing to stand on. There's really nothing to, you know, protect.
Listen, I totally agree. We go down to Commanders games, and we're pretty safe, too. A lot of Cowboys fans down there. But we got family that works for the Cowboys that you go to Philly, do not wear Cowboys stuff.
Nope.
Don't you dare.
I've never done it. I don't have any interest in it. Especially younger me, I'm like, I'm guaranteed to get into a fight. I'm guaranteed to throw hands with somebody.
Listen, Keith, I'll be 100% honest with you. I'm a pastor, but if I go to Philly, it will be quick and laying on the table.
You know what I did? You just jogged my memory. I went to the draft down there with my sister wearing Dallas Cowboys stuff, and I regretted it because I'm like, yo, I can't even do anything because I'm with my sister.
No, no way. Yeah, we don't even. I don't even bother going to Philly. I haven't gone a long time, but I do have a Giants question for you, and I'm gonna get off because I'm ready to hear you talk. Listen, I appreciate your show. You're awesome. Giants. Let's say hypothetically, they miss on the top two quarterbacks. Cam and Shador are gone. What is the best case scenario for the Giants? I'm not talking about like tank for Arch. I mean, like, what's a realistic thing that the Giants can do? Are they going to be in on Darnold? Because I don't think they're going to trade for J.J. McCarthy because last year they weren't interested in him either. Not that I think that Darnold's going back to the Vikings.
I don't think either camp is going to be interested. I don't think the Giants are going to be interested in giving him a Daniel Jones-type contract because that's what they're projecting, 4 years, $160 million, a $40 million a year contract. I don't think that this regime is going to be interested in giving Sam Darnold that contract, especially after what we saw last night, and I don't think Sam Darnold wants to come back to New Jersey. I just don't. So the best-case scenario is that they draft Travis Hunter at 3, or they trade back and take the best available wherever they are, and then they see if Jaxson Dart falls, and maybe they can trade up from the second round and get him, and maybe if they can get two players in the first round, one best player available, the other one a quarterback, whether that be Jaxson Dart or another quarterback that they like, I think that's the way. They need a hell of a draft. Joe Shane, to win this fan base back, he needs to finesse this draft.
Absolutely, and I put a name out there, Kyle McCord from Syracuse. I would not put it past him to be that extra QB who sneaks up into the first round. He's very talented. I mean,
I don't know how he's going to test, but I watched him. There's a kid from Syracuse that's from my town, and I watched him this year a couple games, and I'm like, this kid could be somebody. He was at Ohio State, and I think he's a sneaky pick. I don't think he's a first-round grade. I don't think he's going to test very well. I think he might be a middle round, maybe like fourth-round, fifth-round pick.
Listen, I respect that. But one thing I do know, no one is more desperate than teams who need quarterbacks. You know, Giants, Raiders, these teams are going to be dying to look for that third option. Unless you're going to pay big money for, unless you're going to pay big money for a Sam Darnold or try and trade for
No, they've got other holes that, like, they can't spend the money on a Sam Darnold, and they got to draft their own. Thanks for the call, Paul. They got to have their own guy. What are we waiting on? It's been 3 years. You're going to go in the fourth year without drafting a quarterback? You're going to go through four drafts. No, there's no way in hell the Giants go through this draft without drafting a quarterback. It doesn't have to be first round, but they're going to draft a quarterback. I say, why not draft two? Competition brings out the best in everyone, especially in the quarterback room. Draft Dart and then maybe draft Kyle McCord in a later round.
The Jets need to do the same thing too, by the way.
Yeah,
the
Jets said that absolutely earlier in my open.
And that's why, by the way, with the Shador Sanders, Deion, Dallas, what happens with Dak, that is why, and I'm a Jet fan, and if you put Dak Prescott on the Jets, he's the best quarterback on the Jets maybe in the last 25 years.
But they're not going to. He's going to be the Dallas Cowboys quarterback.
Not if Deion gets that. And I don't think
he's not getting a job.
I don't think he's going to take it because Jerry's not going to want someone to overshadow him, and all Deion does is overshadow people. So he's not going to do it. But if that happened, they would maneuver the draft that Shador would get somehow would get to Dallas, and they would have to get rid of Dak.
I know it's good for radio, and I know everybody did it today with the Deion talk. It's just not realistic. Being a fan of the Dallas Cowboys, they're not going to do it. It was all that was a play for Monday Night Football last night to get the headlines. They got the headlines during halftime, and they got the headlines after the game.
And that
so that America is talking about America's team, Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys, over nothing.
And that was our guy Jordan Schultz who originally leaked that on Twitter. So good job by him. You wonder if that's the case, and they saw it's like a blowout, and the NFL and, the NFL universe, and people are like, you know what, let's Jerry drop this now, or Deion drop this now.
That's
what
they do. I thought that they were going to drop the Mike McCarthy news during the games on Sunday. That is what Jerry Jones does. He wants to be in the public eye and have people talking about the Cowboys, good, bad, whatever. And that was the whole play. Okay, we're going to float out. Oh, they fire their coach. Right, they missed the opportunity to talk to Ben Johnson, but they're talking to Deion Sanders. Deion Sanders has coached 2 years at the major college football level. But he's Deion, he's prime time, everybody knows him, so we're gonna put that out there so that ESPN and their crew can discuss it at halftime and after the game. Give it a break. Miss me with the nonsense. Hire an actual coach. Win games. figure out how to actually get out of the first round, second round, get back to an NFC championship. The kid's name from my town that I could not think of, Trebor Peña. Shout out to him. Ocean Township, New Jersey, plays for Syracuse. When I got wind of this kid this year, he's a wide receiver playmaker, and I'm like, okay, let me watch Syracuse a little bit. And that's where I saw Kyle McCord, and I'm like, okay, this quarterback, where's this quarterback from? I'm like, he's a little bit of a baller. And then I learned about Fran Brown, and then I was watching Syracuse kind of have a little bit of a resurgence this year. So look out for Kyle McCord somewhere in the draft. Maybe the Giants with the Syracuse, New York connection. I don't know. Maybe they can get him later in the draft. I think he'll come in and compete. I don't think he's going to be great. I don't think he's going to be Jaden Daniels, but it doesn't matter. You don't need Jaden Daniels. Like, you need quarterbacks, and you need your own young quarterbacks that you can mold. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Steven in New Jersey on the fan. What's up, Steven?
Hey, Keith. Thanks so much for taking my call. I'm a lifetime Giants fan. I'm 33 years old. My family's had season tickets since they played at Yankee Stadium. I turned it on when you were talking about what happened in Philly, and I just had a couple comments to make about I choose the Philly game every year. I have a choice of few games, and I unfortunately for the past few years, have not been very happy with that. But I just wanted to bring up a couple of situations that I experienced when I was younger with Philly fans at Giants Stadium. One being back when, remember when the beer bottles were still made of glass, there was an irate adult man, Philadelphia fan, who threw a glass bottle, rose down, that went over my head and hit a seven-year-old kid. I know this is stuff we were talking about earlier. I feel that the Philly fan base is just...
They take a lot of pride in being POS. They take a lot of pride in being absolute scum. And I don't get that, but, like, that's their MO. And they get off on being known as, like, oh, a tough city, a tough fan base. But when they bring it to other stadiums, that's super bold.
And no other team does that. There's no team in the NFL that appears at other stadiums and acts as if it's their own stadium. They're the only team in the NFL to do that. I was actually at the Miracle at the Meadowlands when Deshaun Jackson fumbled that punt and ran it back. You remember that game?
Yeah, I was at Edge Fitness folding towels. I was working at the gym. I watched that whole game.
You'll never forget where you were, right? on the way out, it's no Eagles fans left, and you remember that game. It was a blowout. Like they had a lot to come back from, and I remember leaving the stadium. And, we're in this, like, the 300 sections, and I walk by someone and I bumped his shoulder, right, on accident. He was walking by me, and he, like, this guy, I think it might even have been a Giants fan. It was just, crowded. Someone hit into an Eagles fan. I take five steps. I turn around. There's eight grown men brawling. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just unbelievable. But
football and hockey, those are the sports that really, like, just breed that type of energy. Thanks for the call, Steven. It's unfortunate. I hope it doesn't happen. And then when you think about kids, like he talked about a seven-year-old kid, that's not like, people, when are you going to bring your son to the game? I'm like, I'm not. I mean, if I do, he's in a suite. He's been to two games. He goes on the elevator up to the suite, stays in a suite. Because, like, I don't know what I would do. All rules are off if someone throws something and it hits my kid or someone runs over my... Now actually it's right. Mortal Kombat.
Right, because you don't know what you would do as a father because as the professional figure goes out the window.
Yeah, then I'm like, no. Now, like, I have to get my get back. We got to tighten you up. You got to apologize. Like, we got to get security because I'd rather avoid all that. Kids are so innocent. And they just want to go to games and watch the game, and they don't realize, they don't even understand the amount of alcohol some guys, they don't understand alcohol. They don't understand, like, this guy is drunk. This guy's faded. This guy's wasted, yelling things. That's another thing, too. Like, people think that they can just go to stadiums and yell profanities and obscenities in earshot of kids. Oh, don't bring your kid here. No, watch your mouth. Like, it's a public space, but, like, you don't have to do all of that. You don't have to do all that. Take that elsewhere when there's children in earshot. But, you can't police people. You can't tell people when to boo, when to not boo. You can't tell people how to act. They pay their money. And, you just got to watch out for yourself. Make sure your people are straight and hope for the best. And hopefully there's enough good people around that, like, they end all that or the security ends all that before it gets out of hand. All right, I'm running out of time. I've got 30 minutes left, not even, like 40 minutes left. Keith McPherson, less, 20 minutes left. Keith McPherson on The Fan. I'll be right back.
The Fan, 101.9 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app. Download it today.
Uptown, baby. Uptown. Downtown at The Fan in New York. Your nighttime host, Keith McPherson, wrapping things up here. Coming up next is Brooklyn Nets basketball, and I'll be back tomorrow to do the same thing, kind of fill the space in between the Lou Gower, which used to be the bridge show, which used to just, I don't know, I used to do some of these bridge shows. I remember when I first came through, it was Odds on Sports. Andrew Filippone was doing it, and then I kind of took that over, and then since I was such a fiend before I had a baby to go to as many games as I could, I was doing bridge shows live from Barclays Center, putting on the headset with Capper and Carino. Like, I'm already at the game. Like, I remember talking to Spike and everybody about it. Like, I'm like, I'm at the game. And then I would join them at halftime, and then I'd get on the train and race back here, do the nighttime show till 2 a.m., go home. And, yeah, the amount of games that I've been able to go to are not even like half. Like, I've kind of brokered a deal with my wife. Like, since the Nets aren't as good, and they don't have star players anymore, I haven't been to one Nets game this season. I've been to three Devils games. And I, like I said earlier, I've kind of swapped my NBA fandom with my NHL fandom. Thank God for the Devils. They're great. And, like, I'm glad that the organization is first class and the team is good. And I'm looking right now on ESPN Plus. Like, they got this, like, turn on your flashlights. Like, it is rocking over there. The FOMO is killing me. Somebody messaged me and they're like, Keith, I just saw you on Prudential Picks. Like, there's a picture of me somewhere in the arena. I'm like, I'm at work. But yeah, I brokered a deal with my wife where, like, last year I went to, like, because the Yankees went to the World Series, I think I went to the most Yankee games I ever went to. I think I went to like 55 Yankee games through last year. And my son was a little younger, and my son's bedtime is 7 o'clock. So, you know, if I have the show after the Yankees post game, and my wife can come home, or my wife is working from home, you know, he's got to cut deals. Where you're like, hey, you know, I got him, you know, I got him on the weekend, and you can go get your nails done, or hang out with your friends, or go see a movie, or do what you want to do, but, like, I got to go to this game. And for me, I like to drive to the game, especially when I'm hosting, because I can just control my time better as far as driving to the game, and then driving from the game to WFAN, the train can get kind of crazy. You can stop it, you know. I hate to leave for Yankee Stadium after like 4:35. It's a no-go. There have been times where I like ran late and I'm like, I'm not even doing it. Because the traffic from Jersey City to go to the Bronx, if you go after 5 o'clock, you're cooked. Like, you're going to be in 90 minutes to 2 hours worth of traffic for like a Juan Soto jersey giveaway game. 4 o'clock. 4 o'clock is the time. Packed up, ready. If I can get out at 3:30, even better. I cannot wait to go back to the stadium this year. I'm kind of saving up my trip. So only three Devils games, no Brooklyn Nets games. When it gets warmer out and the Yankees are back, my wife's not going to be able to say anything. I'm like, put Jackson to bed. I got to go see what the Yankees are about to do. Billy's in Manhattan next up on The Fan. What's up, Billy?
Yo, what's up?
What's up, Billy? You all right? No, he's not all right. He dropped. Womp, womp, womp. That made me think of something else, too. You know, talking about the Yankees and talking about stadiums. You know, one of the most rowdy environments in recent time in baseball that I was in? 2021, you know, coming out of the pandemic, Subway Series 9/11 weekend in Queens, Citi Field, Yankees versus Mets. Was insane. That was the best baseball environment I had been in that entire year because Yankee Stadium was 10% capacity, 30% capacity, 50% capacity. And then when they actually did say, yeah, sure, full capacity, I think people were a little bit timid and afraid to, you know, even be around that many people so fast. Not me. I didn't care. But Citi Field was packed for the Subway Series 9/11/2021. And I remember seeing multiple fights that Saturday night. I remember seeing two girl fights where if you see the girls fighting, the girls throwing drinks, pulling hair, You know it's getting crazy out there. People should just not fight. Don't go to the game looking for a fight. Steve is in Manhattan. Next up on the Fan, go for it, Steve.
Hey, how's it going, bud? Love your show. Okay, yeah, as far as the fans fighting and everything else, I mean, that is ridiculous. As you were saying earlier, when I was younger, when you were younger, we'd go to a game, we'd have our drinks, we would rank on the other opposition and stuff like that, but we would have fun with it. It wasn't anything that was overboard, and people would come to fisticuffs and everything else.
Right.
I think that's
just don't cross the line. Don't cross
that
line.
Right, I think that's totally overboard. Now, this guy in Philadelphia, I haven't seen any of this, but I've been hearing on it on the Fan on a couple of different shows. But he called that girl or the woman.
Yeah, don't say the word.
Right. I'm not saying the word. But it's like, and then he has a daughter of his own.
Yeah.
He gets fired. I can just imagine what this guy has to say to his wife when he gets home and all this stuff is all
over. They're embarrassed. She's like, that's what you're doing? Going with your guy friends to the game in Philly? That's what you get caught on video going viral for?
Right, you know, abusing another girl when you have a daughter of your own. How would you feel if somebody did this to our daughter?
Exactly.
I mean, my God, it's ridiculous.
And he looked like he was 50 years old. This wasn't a young, drunk guy. This was a guy that has spent some time on planet Earth.
Right. You know, I mean, I hate to say it, I'm 65 years of age right now, but that's okay.
No, God bless you. God bless you. Don't hate to say it. I'm jealous. I'm trying to get there one day.
No, it's like, what happened? I was a kid just 5 minutes ago.
Yeah, being a kid is overrated. Youth is wasted on the young.
Exactly. But no, if I had my knowledge today and I had it in my 20s, that would have been a great thing.
Me too.
The next thing I wanted to bring up was, you started talking about it, and I don't know if I missed it somewhere. You were talking about it a little bit with the baseball, with the Pete Alonso stuff, and I don't know what transpired or what hasn't. But as much as us Mets fans, and I'm a Mets fan, we want Alonso back, the problem is that if there's no market for him, the Mets can't bet against themselves. They can't. You know, and everybody wants the Mets to just jump and sign him, just like I do. But the point of the matter is, I'm not going to give him a ridiculous contract when nobody else is doing it. I almost think, like, what David Stearns and, you know, Steve Cohen have to say is, let's get on a call with Scott Boras and with Alonso and say, okay, here's the deal. We're offering you this. Pete, we want you in before training camp starts.
Yeah.
You want to be a Met? This is our offer. If you have a better offer, move it to us, and then we'll discuss it. But otherwise, if you're not ready to sign, I'm going someplace else.
He doesn't have a market. All of the other teams that were looking for first basemen are good. They're covered. And it's basically take it or leave it now.
Exactly. But the thing is that, you know, so Boras, he's getting shut out looking like an idiot. But once again, he oversells his players. And the Mets should just say, okay, we want you in when training camp starts. If you want to be in, you want to be a Met, we'll be glad to sign you. This is our offer.
I think that's what it's going to come down to, Steve. There's just a running clock, and we know when the clock is going to hit zero. And before it hits zero, Pete Alonso is going to take it rather than leave it.
Mm-hmm.
It's unfortunate for him because there was supposed to be $158 million out there with his name on it. And it sucks. It's just the way that the dice rolls for you. You play the game, you bet on yourself, you sign with Scott Boras, sometimes you crap out.
Yep. I always said, the problem with Boras is he doesn't get the best money for his players. Yes, he does get the best money for his players, but he doesn't care where he sells them to because he goes on his percentage of what he gets from the contract. He gets the best money for himself. That's just Scott Boras.
And now he's got the richest contract in all of sports with Juan Soto, so he doesn't really gotta beg or, you know, really, you know, twist their arm too much.
he hasn't had to do that in years. I mean, ever since he sold Alex Rodriguez to the Texas Rangers for that $250 million contract, from that point forward, other people should have been saying, wait a second. He went to Texas. They can't win anything because they can't buy anybody. They can't trade for anybody. And he was basically in the desert, so to speak. And, you know, Alex couldn't wait to get traded to anywhere, whether it was Boston or the Yankees or someplace else, because he wasn't going to win there. He would have been better off staying in Seattle.
Thanks for the call, Steve. 888-808-1019. Got slightly distracted there. The Panthers score, the Devils score. There's a hell of a game going on in Newark for all those folks that decide to go watch some puck tonight. 1-1 in the third period with 16 minutes left. I'm, like, mad because I have to go walk to the train and get on the train and go home, and I won't be able to listen or watch the game, and by the time I come up, something's going to happen, and it's not going to hit the same. But, man, this third period, like, I don't know. Anyway, let me take my calls, and then I'll listen to the game on my walk. Try and watch. It's too cold to even watch with my phone. But, yeah, Nico Hischier just tied it up. Hell of a game going on at the Rock Prudential Center. Joey's in Manhattan. Joey, you're on the Fan. Go for it.
Yo, what's up, man? How's it going, Q? How you doing, bro?
Great. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, so second time calling. The one that called about the Juan Soto bat when he borrowed it from Judge, remember? Like months ago.
Jazz Chisholm borrowing the...
No. When Juan Soto borrowed Judge's bat and hit the home run, I called you about that like a couple months ago.
I don't remember Juan Soto borrowing Judge's bat. Jazz Chisholm did, though.
Jazz Chisholm. And then he borrowed... Yeah, that's right. You're right. Jazz Chisholm, and then he borrowed Stanton's bat and hit a home run.
Juan Soto would never...
It was and then he borrowed Stanton's bat after that, remember? And then he hit a home run with Stanton's bat as well.
I remember, yeah, I watched.
Yeah. But what I was calling you about is I was a diehard Bills fan growing up, okay?
Yeah.
Because I'm from Long Island, okay. So like, you know, man, I don't have much love for the Dallas, but you know, I'm not a freak fan like that. But anyway, the long story short, I moved to Philadelphia when I went to college, because I went to college in Delaware, okay? So I'm a DJ like you. So I lived there for 8 years, so I got converted to an Eagles fan, okay? So I'm a diehard Eagles fan. I've been a diehard Eagles fan for 20 years. The stuff I've seen in South Philadelphia as an Eagles fan is crazy, bro. Like, they will take your jersey off in South Philadelphia, beat the crap out of you, and use it as a doormat and step on it to go into the bar. That's how nuts they are. Like,
no,
I'm not an Eagles fan like that. Like that.
No, I've heard, I've seen, I know some people. I grew up in Monmouth County, so that's only like an hour drive to get to Philly, and that's why I've never been. That's why I've literally never seen a game. I've been to a bunch of stadiums.
It's just like living in Philadelphia. It is like you get consumed. Like you have to be an Eagles fan. Like there's
yeah, it's a cult. It's a gang. It's a big ass bird gang.
It's crazy. Like in area, like in Manhattan. Like in Manhattan, I can wear my Eagles jersey anywhere. No one even comes near me. Like they won't even come near me. But like that was just my point. Just saying, like, they're not every Eagles fan is, you know what I mean, is as nasty as someone. But the people that grow up in like South Philadelphia, forget about it.
Yeah, in South Jersey too. They start them young. They teach those kids that very young. Thanks for the call, Joey. Kind of lost me. He's like, I grew up a Bills fan I grew up in Long Island, so I was a Bills fan. Is there a patch of Bills Mafia in Long Island? Maybe. But then Delaware, yeah. Delaware State hires Deshaun Jackson to be their head football coach. I don't know why. Oh, because he's an Eagles legend. But yeah, I know it. There are, you know, Kenny Pickett went to my high school. Kenny Pickett is playing backup quarterback for the Eagles. He grew up an Eagles fan. I know a lot of Eagles fans. On the New York Knicks, Jalen Brunson, Carl Anthony Towns, Eagles fan. They got a ton of fans. One Super Bowl. Growing up, I know I thought they would never win a Super Bowl. That was always my main thing. You have no Super Bowls. Zero rings. Shut up. John is in Bayonne. My last call of the night. Go for it, John.
Eat. Let's go Devils, baby.
Let's go Devils. They're beating them up a little bit right now.
Okay, so here we go. I mean, I'm at a Giant game in the Meadowlands, and this is like maybe in the 70s, the 80s, and I'm in the bathroom, and these Eagles, a couple guys come in, and they start going on me. Now, I'm not a Giant fan, but I'm there, and I'm saying...
Were you wearing Giants gear?
No. But they were chirping about the Giants, and I said, all of a sudden... The stalls opened up, and these guys came out, Giant fans. I ran out of the bathroom because there was a beating on like there was no tomorrow. Okay, but I'm a Rams fan. So I go out to L.A. to see the Rams play the Raiders because my friend was a season ticket holder for the Raiders at the Coliseum. Okay? He says, don't wear no Rams paraphernalia. I said, okay. I go to the game. I never seen cops in the riot gears.
Yeah.
Then I think they had the riot gear on. They had the shields. They had the battering rams. They were ready to go. And I'll tell you right now, you didn't see no Rams fans cheering. Nope. No matter what.
Yeah, it's crazy out in L.A. If you remember, Dodger Stadium, they used to tailgate out there. They don't tailgate because there was a Giants fan who got like beat to a pulp into like a coma. A San Francisco Giants fan years ago.
Yeah, well, here's the crazy part. I was at a Rams game after they won the Super Bowl, and we were playing the Jets, and it was a hot day, and you know all the Meadowlands, and you're on the hot side. And all of a sudden, boom, guy started giving my daughter juice, and I told him.
What'd you tell him, John?
What's up?
They don't kill me.
You gotta finish the story. What'd you tell him? Why I oughta? You watch it. I'll feed you this knuckle sandwich. I'm watching the Devil's Power Play. There's only 26 seconds left, but I also got to get on a train in 9 minutes. This was fun. Let's do this again tomorrow. Same time, same place, 6:30 on the Fan. All right, cool. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Good night.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM.